I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. That's from Oakland, California last night, where protesters broke windows and looted a store following the involuntary manslaughter conviction of a white former transit officer in the shooting death of an unarmed black man on last New Year's Day. We're going to go to the Bay Area to hear more about the resolution of a case that sparked days of protests and street violence and yet more questions about the relations between police and minorities. We're also going to take up the story of 52 Cuban dissidents slated for release from prison there. One of them just ended a 3.5-month hunger strike. Later, the Barbershop Guys talk about, what else, LeBron James. And we hope they'll reflect on their first read of To Kill a Mockingbird. That book came out 50 years ago this Sunday. But first, to Oakland, where former transit officer Johannes Messerling was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter in the shooting death of Oscar Grant, as we said, that took place on New Year's Day 2009. Prosecutors had sought a second or first-degree murder conviction. After the verdict, Wanda Johnson said the jury's decision on the charge of involuntary manslaughter was an insult to her family.
My son was murdered. He was murdered. And the law has not held the officer accountable the way that he should have been held accountable.
Joining us now is Damian Bulwar. He covers law enforcement for the San Francisco Chronicle, and he's covered the story from the beginning. Welcome back, Damian. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, it's probably worth mentioning that the case was actually tried in Los Angeles. Why is that?
Well, it was moved to Los Angeles because of heavy publicity in the Bay Area. The defense made a move for that venue change, and a judge agreed that there had been simply too much talk. Too many people had perhaps made up their mind about the case that Mr. Messerly couldn't get a fair trial in Oakland.
How do you interpret the jury verdict, or how is that jury verdict being interpreted?
Well, you know, it depends on who you ask. I'm looking into that a little more now. It's not clear to me this morning whether the jury believed his story that he meant to pull his taser and accidentally shot Grant. He says that he did not mean to fire his gun because the jury found involuntary manslaughter. That suggests that they believe he did not have an unlawful intent to kill Grant. On the other hand, they found a gun enhancement to be true that he intentionally fired a gun. So, not clear. The family believes it was a compromise verdict that the jury came to in light of the fact that he's a police officer.
The defense made the strong argument that this was a mistake. That was kind of the through line of their argument, and I assume that they also made it a training issue. But what did prosecutors say? What was their argument for why this was murder and not an accident?
Well, the prosecution, from the very beginning, charged this case as a murder, saying that there was no explanation from the officer on why it happened. And so you had an unlawful killing on camera with no explanation. And then when Messerly came forward and said that he had made a mistake, the prosecution does not believe that. They believe the evidence shows that it was an intentional shooting. Just the differences between the taser and the gun and his the way that he went about firing the gun. They believe it's there's no question there.
Did they give any explanation about why he would have wanted to? Did they give a narrative of what his motivation was in shooting Oscar Grant? What did they think? Why do they think he did it? If
they did, they did try to, but they did not have a strong narrative there. They said that his emotions got the better of him, and that Oscar Grant was essentially arrested in a contempt of cop arrest, as it's sometimes known, for not being nice to the police officers, and that Messerly, as he arrived on the platform 2.5 minutes before shooting Grant, was sort of swept up into this bad behavior and poor choices being made by Messerly and the other officers, and that he lost control. And but it was unclear. They did not have clear evidence of anything that that Messerly said, or that he flashed anger, or so they, you know, they basically were saying it's in the closing statement. Prosecutor Stein actually said, "We don't have to show motive to prove murder."
Mm. And tell me more about the reaction that we're seeing in Oakland. We heard from the family, who are very angry, obviously, and very upset. But what about beyond the family? What about the rest of the community? What other voices are you hearing?
Well, people are very upset. I mean, the thing that you hear is that here's a case where there's a police shooting of a young African-American man, and it's caught right on video, and not just one video, but five videos and three that actually show the gunshot. And so what people are saying is, how can we have faith in the system when even in this case, we see this result, an involuntary manslaughter. Other people are, there are people that believe this is a just cause. There's a lot of people that believe the taser explanation. And there's a lot of people that believe that police officers have a dangerous job and would not want a police officer convicted of murder for a line of duty shooting.
And you made the point in your piece, in one of the pieces you wrote about this, that it is in fact fairly rare in this country to convict police officers for line of duty shootings. Behavior that takes place in a station house or in other venues perhaps is viewed differently, but that, as you made the point, that seems to be unusual to get any kind of a conviction in this country. But finally, is there any ongoing fallout or response to this case? Any response administratively in terms of training or anything of that sort, community relations, anything like that?
Well, I think that'll be interesting to see. They definitely have done training. They have a new police chief. They fired two officers, Messerly resigned. There's been a lot of changes, but it'll be interesting to see if there's larger changes within police forces around the region.
Damian Bulwa covers law enforcement for the San Francisco Chronicle. He had a long day yesterday, so we thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.